Do please sit down for our Bible reading.
Our reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, and can be found on page 970 of the Church Bibles.
You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we stand, a very brief prayer. Our God, we've just been singing about the cross of Jesus. We pray now you would help us to understand what it means and why it is such good news for us. Amen. Please do be seated. I'd like just to take your mind back a few minutes to a question that you were asked in our creed. Do you believe in God? Now, we didn't want anyone to say yes when they didn't. And maybe you don't believe in God. It's not a question we tend to go up to strangers and ask, do you believe in God? But sometimes it comes up in conversation. Do you believe in God? And some people will say, no. And we might ask, why? And they might say, why don't I believe in God? Well, here's a reason I hear a lot. Religion just causes wars. Religion causes wars. And if that's what God does, I don't want to have anything to do with God. We did a survey in Hertford Church of England High School, where I work. We did it a couple of years ago. And this was the third most common reason as to why pupils do not believe in God in our school. But it's not just pupils in school. It's not perhaps people in church here this morning. Some of you will recognize John Lennon from this picture. And his song Imagine has been heralded as perhaps the greatest song ever written. I'm not so sure. But listen to the words he said. Imagine there are no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You see, in John Lennon's mind, religion is one of the reasons we have wars. That's why we have people killing and dying, because of religion. That's John Lennon. He's not alone. This man, Richard Dawkins, he's an Oxford professor. He's a very intelligent man. And yet he says this. Religion causes wars. If only people would leave behind their convictions about the existence of a God, the world would be a much better, more peaceful place. Now, he's an intelligent man. Religion causes wars. John Lennon, he's a very famous man for his music. Is he right? Is Richard Dawkins right? Are people right when they say religion causes wars? And how are we going to figure it out? Well, we don't have to. We can give thanks for two men, Charles Phillips and Alan Axelrod. They wrote a three-volume work entitled The Encyclopedia of Wars. Now, I have to be honest, I haven't read it. I don't have that much time. But in that book, I know they chronicle 1,763 wars for the last two millennia. And they identify only 123 of them as being fought in the name of religion. 123 out of 1,763 wars. Let's put some numbers on that. And I'm thinking of wars that have been fought in the name of Christianity. The obvious one that people throw out to us is the Crusades. Maybe 1 million people died in the five Crusades. But if you compare that with the somewhere between 20 and 60 million people who were estimated to have died in World War I, and maybe somewhere between 40 and 70 million people who died in World War II, you get an idea of the difference. But when I quote numbers like that, I would never want us to think that Remembrance Sunday is all about remembering numbers. No. Every number is a name. And it represents a father, a brother, a son, a husband, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a wife, a friend who died. That service we had a couple of weeks ago outside around the memorial where the local school children planted crosses. These are those crosses. Every single cross, apart from two, has a name handwritten on it. Because those who died, those numbers, are real people. And we remember them today. Because they gave their life that we might live in freedom. We remember and we give thanks for them. These are to remember those who died in World Wars I and II. That was not a war fought in the name of religion. No, religion does not cause all wars. It causes some, it's caused some wars in the name of Jesus. But that is, they're not fought in the name of Jesus, because would Jesus approve of the wars that were fought in his name? No. We read, didn't we, in our reading? Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Don't fight them. Don't go out and kill them. Love your enemies. Jesus is not saying don't be a soldier. Sometimes it is right to take up arms and fight to defend. But what Jesus is saying is this. Don't go and take the sword. Don't take up arms and fight to win people to my name. Don't convert by the sword. That is not what we are to do. Religion is not the cause of most wars. True Christianity is not the cause of wars. What is? What does cause wars? That's the question that we've sort of given the title we've given to this part of our service. What causes wars? Well, I'm going to turn to the Bible for the answer to that question, because I am convinced that the book I'm holding in my hand is absolutely true and reliable. And in it, I find these words of Jesus Christ. He says this, from within. Out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside. That's a terrible list of vices, isn't it? Maybe some of those words you don't know what they mean. You've not encountered them yet in your life because you're too young. But I think you know what most of them are. We know what thieving is, stealing, murder, greed, wanting things we don't want, taking things by force, deceit, lying to cover up what we have done. All these things that we do, they come, Jesus says, from in our hearts. That's our nature. It is who we are. Every single one of us has the ability to be these kind of people. And these things come out in various degrees. Some of us will fight and quarrel at home. We'll argue over who watches what on TV. We'll often say the wrong thing and upset someone at home. You might think these are minor things, but when we get angry, well, it's just the same as someone who gets angry because someone else has in their country what they want, and he'll go and fight and kill for it. It's the same root cause, and it comes from in here. Many years ago, the Times newspaper invited readers to comment on a particular issue. And one man's brief letter has stood the test of time. And he said this, "Dear sir, what's wrong with the world? I am. Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." He is acknowledging what the Bible says is true. He says, the problem is in me. I know, he says, what I am capable of doing. The problem is in our hearts. If that's the problem, what's the solution? We've just sung a new hymn, Oh to See the Dawn. It is a fantastic hymn. But I want to mention the words of a very old hymn. And I guess many of us who are older will know this. It's called Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. It's a song about Jesus. The Rock of Ages is Jesus. It's a song about Jesus' death on the cross, because the song talks about the water and the blood that flowed out of Jesus' body when he was stabbed by a Roman spear. And it reminds us that the problem we have, our heart problem, has two components to it: sin's guilt and sin's power over our lives. What is the solution to sin's power? Well, Anne Frank's famous for her diary. After the Second World War, wrote these words: until all humanity, without exception, undergoes a metamorphosis, wars will continue to be waged. If you're not sure what metamorphosis means, think of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. A change, a complete change. She says, unless there is a complete change in everybody, wars will continue to happen. We need to change completely. I wonder, did she write that? Thinking about the Second World War, in the light of the First World War. The First World War was known as the Great War, not because it was good, but because so many people died. It was also known as the war to end all wars. And yet, 21 years after the guns fell silent, they could be heard again across continental Europe as World War II started. Did we not learn what happened in the First World War to stop us fighting? No, it would seem. All that loss of life, all that pain and suffering and misery, and yet we did it again. We need a complete change. How do we change our heart? We can't do that on our own. I know I've tried to change the things that I do wrong, and I just keep failing and getting it wrong. Can you identify with that? Are there some things that you keep doing? Did you keep doing the same wrong thing over and over again? And you think, I wish I could change. And you go, I can't. Well, there's a promise of God in the Bible. It comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel. But it applies now. God says, I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God promises us a new heart. Our heart of stone that is cold and indifferent, doesn't care about other people. God says, I'll take that out and I'll give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that's alive and that will be concerned about me and obeying me and concerned about the people around you and looking after them. And I will put my spirit in you. I will make you alive. I will help you, says God, to change so that you are careful to keep my laws, so that you can love your neighbor as yourself, so that we can love our enemies, so that we can pray for those who persecute us, those who are nasty, those who bully us. God says, I will help you do this. That's how we can be free from sin's power. How can we be free from sin's guilt? The war memorial outside has this inscription on one of its panels. It's also printed on our service sheet this morning. It's also been quoted at the beginning of our service. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. They are words of Jesus that have been applied to those men and women from Hartford who gave their lives so that we might live in peace. Their names are on that war memorial. There are two names missing, we've discovered. But we honour them. We give thanks that they laid down their lives so that we live in peace. But they are words of Jesus that apply to Jesus. He laid down his life to make us his friends. You see, there's another verse in the Bible that says this: God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were people who just did wrong. We said to God, get lost. I don't want to obey you. I don't care about you. I don't even believe you exist. That's what some people think. I'm just going to do what I want because I'm the most important person. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There are consequences for doing things wrong. Those of you who are in school will know this to be true. If you break the school rules, there are consequences. You might get a yellow card. You might get a detention. You might be kept in a break. We know it's true in our society, don't we? If we break our country's laws, there are consequences. A simple illustration: if you're driving down school lane, doing more than 30 miles an hour, and there's a police car outside Whitehall, you're nicked. Too many people are smiling. Obviously, that's a raw nerve for some of you. But it's true on the motorway, isn't it? If we break our country's laws, there are consequences. Points on our license are fine. If we break our laws, more seriously, imprisonment. There are consequences. If we break God's laws, there are also consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. One day we'll die, but then we will die and face God's punishment. It's a debt that we cannot pay. But God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God says, I love people so much, I'm willing to die in their place. I will take that punishment for you. And Christians believe that when Jesus died on the cross, that's what he did. If we say sorry, we can be forgiven. So the guilt of sin is gone. And when we become a Christian, that promise of God to give us his Spirit to help us obey his laws, that's when it kicks into operation. And so the power of sin is gone in our lives. We'll still get things wrong. No Christian is perfect. But our desire will be to please God. Our desire will be to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our desire will be to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Now, far from causing wars, true religion, true Christianity provides the solution to wars. Because true Christianity, the gospel changes lives on the inside, changes our hearts, so that we can keep God's law, so that we can do the impossible, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love our enemies, and above all, to love God. Let me pray for us. Oh God, please would you remind us always of your great love for us in sending your son Jesus to die. And we pray that we might continue to rejoice in what his death has done for us, taking away the punishment we deserve for our wrongdoing. If we do not understand this fully, oh God, help us to speak to someone this morning to clarify what is missing in our understanding. And we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.